Hi there, listeners. Welcome to episode 222 of Never on the Back Foot podcast. India won the Asia Cup 2023 title for a record 8th time, thrashing Sri Lanka by 10 wickets in the one-sided final at the R. Premadasa Stadium in Colombo on Sunday. India not only reclaimed the Asia Cup title, but more importantly, there were plenty of valuable learnings for the side across the past 2 weeks. In this episode, we discuss at length about all those takeaways and observations. On the podcast, we have Bharat of Cow Corner fame. He is a cricket enthusiast based in Chennai. Without further ado, let's get started. Hi Bharat, welcome back to Never on the Back Foot podcast. How are you doing today?
Hey Neha, well, first of all, thanks for the opportunity. Good to be back again, and yeah, looking forward to sharing my piece of thinking.
Right, and we have such an interesting topic today, and a very positive thing also happened that India won the Asia Cup, which is obviously a massive victory, and it's an 8th title overall as well. So what are your initial thoughts to kickstart this discussion?
Well, very satisfied with the outcome, firstly. This is exactly what we all wanted as fans of Indian cricket team, right?
Yeah.
So top class stuff from Team India, and what was so pleasing was the complete team performance that they exhibited. All the big players who we were hoping to perform, turned out to be positive. And surprisingly, all of them performed in the crunch situations. That is something that we don't do often, right? We've been so used to watching them flunk in big matches. So that was good to see. And really, fingers crossed, for them to carry this form over to the World Cup.
Absolutely. We have so many positives to take away from this tournament, and it gives us talking points through this episode as well. Now, if we had to look at the tournament at large, in the first match versus Pakistan, now India had a tough start, right? We lost the top order quite cheaply, but then you had Ishan Kishan and Hardik Pandya, come in to save that sinking ship. So India was out for 266. And unfortunately, rain had the final say on the outcome of the match. So what are your thoughts on that games? And did you feel, that any shortcomings were exposed, or is it too early to dwell into that?
You can say both, but obviously we need to accept that we had our part of shortcomings in that particular match. But obviously it comes with a lot of learnings, right? So you had to make note of all of that. Yes, we were all aware of the new ball challenge with Shaheen Shah and Aseem Shah, swing the ball left and right. We all knew that by any chance, if you're going to cross the 10-over mark, it's going to become much easier for us to post a commendable total. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. But the way Ishan and Hardik, stood up, and I really liked the way they absorbed the pressure and put it back on the Pakistanis, because That was a real statement, right? That is what you want from your big players. However, they were, dismissed quickly. I mean, within a span of 2 overs or three, maybe. And then it was a lower order collapse, which we didn't see that coming, right? We were all expecting India to score somewhere around 280, 290, but still 266 was a defendable total. Would have loved to see the match go on irrespective of what result we would have obtained. Because, that would have given us a fair idea of where we are actually standing with a bowling attack. But, Vane, as you said, had other ideas. So that was fine. But was really happy with the way Ishan and Hardik, stood up.
That's actually so true. And, you know, even going ahead in the second match for India versus Nepal, now they were able to stifle the opposition for 230, which was, I think, a very fighting total when you look at Nepal standards. Now you had Siraj and Jadeja take three wickets. And again, here, rain played spoil sport, which meant India had to chase like 140 odd in like those 23 overs. And they did so with ease. It didn't look like a very complicated run chase. So how would you assess that performance?
Well, first thoughts, I thought India were a bit complacent with the way, you know, they approached the game. And that was quite evident in the way, you know, they fielded. They, in fact, dropped three or four catches inside the power play, if I'm not wrong. And I think Siraj was, I mean, he's always, you know, that kind of a bull, you know, who just wants to have a fight with the opposition. He's too aggressive. But he was, in my opinion, a bit expensive in the power play. If I'm not wrong, we considered somewhere around 60 or over 60 on the power play. But again, Shardul did what he was known for. He broke the partnership, and then it was time for Jadeja, and then Siraj also came into the play for helping us restrict Nepal to 230. Which, as you said, you know, was very, very good total for someone for a team like Nepal, and I think our openers, you know, are too good for Nepal's bowling attack. Like no disrespect to Nepal, but I think our openers are completely a class apart. It was a comprehensive victory for us, but again. Point to be taken is don't be complacent irrespective of the opposition, because we are also going to play Netherlands, sites like them, right? So it was something, you know, for us to, you know, make note of.
Absolutely. And now, you know, India did qualify for the Super 4 stage without much hassle. And that's when another showdown with Pakistan was on cards and fans were excited for it. Now, this match witnessed India, you know, absolutely thrash Pakistan, that big win that we really needed. Now, you saw how there was like this massive total that was put up on the board. The openers got off to a very fine start. And then you had Kohli and Rahul, you know, chipping in with those lovely hundreds as well. And dismissing Pakistan for 120. It was definitely the icing on the cake and a morale boosting net run rate victory, right? So what did you make of that win? And how fascinating was it to see that sweet victory?
Yeah, it was spot on. You know, this was a big morale booster. We needed this kind of a win to up the ante. What I liked the most was the intent of Indian openers. They knew that, you know, something big was going to happen, but they were ready to take up the challenge. And what was so pleasing was, you know, they were actually hitting it without taking much risks. I'm sure that they would have prepared really well. That was quite evident in the way both Rohit and Gill played. It was good to see, you know, Shaheen being hit here and there. I mean, if I'm not wrong, he conceded somewhere around 30 or 31 to be precise in his first spell. You know, to their defense, to Pakistan's defense, they did lose two of their main bowlers and probably two of the best bowlers going around the world. But I think the way we started dominating them, that too in the power play, you know, played a lot to our hands. But then, you know, after Rohit and Gill got out, I mean, I think they both got out within 7 balls with each other. So we were actually put to a dicey situation there. It was all up to Kohli and KL. We actually wanted them to play the consolidation game and maybe get us to a good total, say 290, 300 maybe. But then, you know, the reserve day, that was really tough. You know, what people don't realize is you're coming in. Obviously, it's just like a test match, right? You need to focus back again, and the bowlers you're facing, irrespective of what happened yesterday, they're all great bowlers by any means, right? So for the two batters, KL and Virat, to come there and just continue from where they left, and take us to a total, you know, which I thought was 60, 70 runs above the par score. That was, I mean, truly commendable. And after the batting performance, it was, I think, the way with in which we started the bowling. Bumrah, I mean, if I'm not wrong, that was the first outing, right, for him. So he bowled. It was hard for me to believe that way because he hit the right spot. He was moving the ball in and out. And Siraj, too, was bowling really well. Unfortunately, he went wicketless, but that was fine. And then Hardik and Shardul coming in with peach of deliveries to dismiss the duo of Babar and Rizwan. And amongst all this quality bowling, you have Kuldeep Yadav, who stood tall with his five. And I think one good thing that we got, apart from all the morale boosting thing, is we invented or we discovered someone who could clean up the tail. And that is Kuldeep Yadav, because he's definitely worked a lot on his technical side of things, and that is actually reaping great rewards for us. So good signs. Overall, great victory.
I think that was perfectly summed up, you know, because this was a match that came in with the unique challenge of, you know, that reserve day coming in. It also came under the scanner, like, you know, why only the India-Pakistan game in this Super 4 stage was given that privilege. That's a discussion for another episode at large. But, you know, the team was obviously riding with a lot of momentum, and that's where, you know, your match versus Sri Lanka comes in. Now, here we faced an acid test, you know, getting dismissed for 213. Most of the fans had turned off their TVs. They're like, there's no way India is going to, you know, win this match, because none of the batters came to the party. But somewhere, you know, it was, I think, India's bowling that really saved face, because Sri Lanka was further dismissed for 172. So what did you make of that match, and any major takeaways from a bowling POV?
Well, to be frank, it's not like none of our batters, you know, stood up. I thought Rohit was too good, right? Because I remember a match, a test match that happened in Chennai. He was as if he was playing on a different pitch. He was the only one who scored 100, while others were all you know, struggling to get to double digits. So he showed his quality over there, got to a quick fire 50. I think KL batted really well along with Ishan Kishan. He didn't hit a lot of boundaries per se, but ended up with good strike rate when he got out because of, you know, good strike rotation. And then we all relied upon Akshar Patel, right, to get us to a good total. And he did a very fine job, actually, because the experts were all like 180, 200, somewhere around that is going to be a match-winning total. But I think credit needs to be given to Siraj also, this time with the bat, because he played a good supporting role to Akshar, got us to a very good total of 213. And obviously, again, you know, we started off really well with the ball. I think we got 3 wickets within the power play, if I'm not wrong. And then this time, you know, both Jadeja and Kuldeep showed put up great performances, because I think this was the first time they both ended up taking wickets, and it was their partnership was so good to see. And this was one of the major takeaways again, because we were all like, I mean, bowling partnerships are so underrated that they people don't take notice of how important they are. Even in the shorter formats, you need that kind of rhythm to be going. And having seen how they paired up, I thought, okay, I mean, this looks to be, you know, settled bowling attack. Akshar with the ball wasn't that impressive, to be honest, but then, you know, that wasn't needed. I mean, Akshar's magic wasn't needed at that point of time for us, you know, to end up with a 41-run victory. Lot of takeaways, but apart from the bowling, I thought Rohit was impressive as a captain. Because defending low totals, you need your captain to be proactive on most occasions, be it the field placements, the sharp bowling changes and all of that. Rohit was impressive. And obviously, you know, Heading into a big tournament, you need to have experience in defending low targets as well as chasing high targets. And this was a major tick, you know, in our preparation.
Agreed. And it was, you know, on these two wins that India was moving on to the next match versus Bangladesh, you know, having already qualified for the finals. So maybe the management thought somewhere that, hey, let's experiment. And that's where this match versus Bangladesh comes into perspective, right? Because it was an eye-opener. India lost by a very narrow margin. But somewhere, you know, the selection calls, the performances in the match came under the scanner, right? So what are your thoughts on, like, this match and how everything unfolded?
It indeed was an eye-opener for Team India. The fact that we almost won it, you know, that kind of eases of the pain of the loss. India, we did start off well, I guess, with the ball. We reduced Bangladesh to 59 for 4. And then somehow Bangladesh managed to stitch important partnerships here and there, and ended up with a very, very good total of 265. 266 was definitely a target which was not quite easy to chase. And we really were in need of a very good start for that. Unfortunately, that didn't happen when Rohit, you know, was dismissed in the first over and was followed by his MI teammate Tilak Varma. But I think the biggest positive would be Shubman Gill. I mean, we all wanted him to get into this mode, right? Because he was amongst runs, but there was a sharp dip in his form post IPL 2023, right? He wasn't amongst his best in the West Indies series as well. So we needed that 100 run inning from Shubman Gill. Although, you know, it didn't end up on the winning side, it was fine. I think Akshar played really well. We all had the belief of winning the game until he was there. But then when he was dismissed, you know, it was almost curtains for Team India. And I think credit needs to be given to the Bangladesh side. They bowled and batted really well. And what we don't, you know, seem to make notice of is they also made 4 or 5 changes, right? They rested their important players as well. So great performance by them as well. But I mean, lot of turnings, learnings again. So not, I wouldn't take this into account much. That's what this game was actually made of.
Fair enough, because India's anyways in the final, and you know, this match could have served as a testing ground to see, you know, who are the players who could be slotted in and all that. And now, you know, when we focus on this grand finale where India squared off against Sri Lanka, most of them felt it was a one-sided affair. I mean, look at it, dismissing Sri Lanka for like 50, and then India completely annihilated Sri Lanka, right? There was no way they were going to make a comeback. So what did you make of that match and a morale-boosting win again?
Well, to keep it simple, I think this was a game which displayed the true capability of Team India, because beat a player or two or three, if they're at their best, I think we can win any team. Win, I think, is a polite word, maybe decimate or annihilate, like you said, any team in the world. So I think this game was purely about Mian magic. The way he bowled, I mean, swung the ball in and out. Bumrah started off well, mind you, but Siraj, who was quite, you know, Tim, first couple of overs, he didn't concede a lot of runs per se, but, you know, he then came up with an over where he picked 4. And even after picking 4 wickets, the highlight was him, you know, chasing the ball to the boundary cushion. So I think his attitude was, you know, that was put up, you know, was so good to see. And he's that kind of a bowler. I also, you know, came up an article where he was raring to go 10 overs on the trot. And then, you know, the physio had to, you know, send a news like it's not advisable for him to do that because that might end up in injuries. And then Rohit had to stop him. So, I mean, good to see such players, right? You need these kinds of players, irrespective of their form, their performance. You need that kind of hunger to win. So, I mean, and then chasing 51, that was a statement again. We won it with 263 balls to spare, if I'm right. So, great performance. And I really, really wish we gather this kind of momentum to the knockout stages of the World Cup and then, you know, end up lifting the trophy.
Exactly. You know, really hoping all of it just adds up to something larger than life and eventually us, you know, finally putting our hands on that World Cup as well. And, you know, through this episode, we have spoken about the matches that India have played, but you obviously have certain characters who have really stood out, right? Now, one such person is obviously Shubman Gill. Now, he was your highest run getter of this Asia Cup, looked in fine touch throughout and, you know, was really able to chip in with those handy knocks when the team needed him the most. So how remarkable was his resurgence? And in spite of those, you know, setbacks, he seems to keep coming back stronger, right?
Yeah, I think that's a quality of big match players. Like he's definitely one for the future, be it for the captaincy prospects or you know, carrying the team forward just with the bat. He is definitely, you know, someone who will bank on in the future. He was stupendous in this tournament, as you said, with an average of 75 and a half, and when you're striking at 93, I mean, these are the stats the management would have wanted. And most of all, Rohit Sharma, because you saw he was very conscious of you know, Gill getting into form, because you saw you know, Rohit, how can I say that, he was very much focused on you know, Gill taking up the spotlight and him, you know, taking up the difficult role of aggressor. And also, if I'm right, he was willing to send Gill ahead of him. And I think a chase against West Indies where we chased 118 or so, and also in the final, right, he could have easily come in and gathered some form, but I think it would have been great, you know, for Rohit Sharma to have seen Gill perform this way, and the way he played, obviously I think it's a clear plan that Rohit is going to play the role of aggressor, while Gill is going to don the role of accumulator. So it's good to see that kind of chemistry happening between them. And for him to get back into his groove, getting runs under his belt was key. And that has happened. So great news for Team India.
Absolutely. And having a captain's backing through and through is very important for these young players, you know, who are rising through the ranks, cementing their place in the team as well. And another such beneficiary, I think, has to be Mohammad Siraj. Right now, he's had a fairy tale Asia Cup, especially that last match versus Sri Lanka. Now, ending up as the second highest wicket taker, he was brilliant. And I think he finally showcased his prowess with the white ball. A lot of people, you know, had some criticisms that, you know, he's not able to pitch it in the right areas or get those crucial wickets. So do you think this tournament has really kind of, you know, shown his skill set?
Well, frankly speaking, I was surprised with, you know, his initial performances, because he either ended up not taking many wickets or he was expensive. So I was a bit concerned, but then, you know, the way in which he gathered momentum through the course of the tournament, that was really good to see. And obviously, you know, performance was due to come. We all knew that was going to come, because the way he in which he bowled, we knew that he was bowling so well to get wickets. The movement, be the movement or the pace with which he was operating, that was too good. And that luckily, you know, came up in the final. So great to see that happening. And now, you know, what has happened is he's become the second most important pitcher of Team India, because obviously Bumrah is your number one, right? He's your numero uno. It was between Shami and Siraj to decide whether who's going to play as a second seamer. So Siraj, the way in which he operated, I think, you know, he's made a statement that he is going to don the role of second Simba. Great to see. And I really wish, again, you know, he carries this forward to the World Cup.
Absolutely. And he's one player who's going to be a crucial cog, you know, in case we have an injury to any of our major pacers like Bumrah or Shami. He will definitely come in handy. And talking about another spinner who has, you know, really made his presence felt is Kuldeep Yadav, right? Rightfully and deservingly so awarded the player of the series for his performances in this Asia Cup. I think it would be an understatement to say that, you know, he ruled the middle overs to the extent that he was responsible for what, 50% of the wickets that were picked by Indian spinners in that 11 overs to 40 overs quota. And he has been incredible, right? Especially for the past 1.5 years or so. So how do you look at his performance at large?
I think you're spot on. He's had a massive impact in this tournament. And the way in which, you know, Rohit has placed his trust on him, you know, it's so good to see that happening. We were all, you know, a bit down seeing him not get enough opportunities, be it IPL or the national side. But again, as I already said, he's made a lot of technical changes. He's worked on his airspeed. That's what I heard from the experts and all. So all that is now reaping rewards. So it's so good to see that happening. And Kuldeep, you know, bowled, I mean, dream spells in this tournament. He's ended up with an average bowling average of 11.4. And for a wrist spinner to maintain economical rate of 3.6, I think it's nothing short of a dream. So, I think I may sound overconfident, but I'm bold enough to say that if Kuldeep is going to continue this form, I don't see many teams, be it Australia, any top side, Australia, England, or New Zealand, I don't see them playing the full quota of 50 overs because he's operated so well in the middle overs that, you know, it's like he's going to pick a minimum of 2-3 wickets. That's a minimum guarantee from his side. So that is a very big sign. And I think we all have lost contact with the ODI format, right? So the importance of middle overs, you know, is being reiterated now. So I think you need that kind of a bowler in the form of Kuldeep Yadav, you know, to step up so that you can, you know, win trophies.
Absolutely. I mean, he was undoubtedly one of the biggest positives for India from this campaign. And even when you look at the likes of Jasprit Bumrah and KL Rahul, right? Now, although they were, you know, sidelined because of injury, they walked into the playing 11 because, you know, these are class players. But I think the biggest lingering question was, you know, heading into this Asia Cup was key, whether this duo would be match fit and, you know, how well would they be able to sit well with the team. And I think it would be fair to say that, you know, within moments, both these players made the entire world forget that they were actually coming on the back of injuries because of how good they were with their respective performances. So what did you make of their presence in the team? And quite commendable, right? The comeback.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not often you see, you know, big players making dream comebacks like this. And both of them, incidentally, you know, made great comebacks. On one hand, you know, imagine being out of the game for months together and you end up scoring 100. And that too against Pakistan, a team like them. And on the other hand, you have someone who's not, you know, played international game or more so this format for over a year. And you end up bowling with a dot ball percentage of 83%. And I mean, that those stats are mind-boggling, right? And these, I mean, everyone knew that these players are going to get into the team straight away. It was never, you know, a question of the quality or the ability. It was all about, you know, the momentum with which they played or maybe the form. It's good to see that they've, you know, ended up getting good form now. And, and I'm sure that, you know, with more game time, they're bound to become more and more, you know, efficient in their game.
Right. And even like when you look at this Asia Cup, like in the first game, we saw how India made it quite clear that they did not consider Shami as a starter. And that's where, you know, the showings of Hardik Pandya and Shardul Thakur have further dented Shami's chances of, you know, being picked as a first choice. So how do you look at this playing out, like going ahead in the World Cup?
Well, I think this particular format, you know, has seen a spike in the frequency of 300 plus scores, especially, you know, in the recent couple of years, I would say. So teams have actually started to realize, you know, the importance of deeper batting order and maybe aggressive batting. We all knew, you know, the shift that England made, you know, to win the 2019 World Cup. So these are some of the points that teams nowadays, you know, take into consideration. And considering the smaller grounds and flatter pitches in our country, you should be, you know, having, you should be following this aggressive brand of cricket so as to win a lot of games. So that is the reason why, you know, the role of number eight becomes more pivotal to any side. And that is one of the reasons why, you know, Shami is being sidelined. Shami undoubtedly, you know, is one of the best bowlers going around, be it red ball or white ball. But if you're going to sideline a bowler of that quality, you know, you must realize the team's agenda as well. It's not like they're sidelining him because of his quality or any such things. It's just that, you know, they want this combination to be working out. Although Shardul is not your like-to-like replacement, nowhere near to a like-to-like replacement, they are going up with him, which is a brave call on their part. I think a lot of discussion can happen with Shami being, you know, sidelined, that is not fair, blah, blah, blah. But I think Shami's role is not going to be limited, considering the World Cup is going to be at least 9 matches long. You definitely need to manage the workload of your pacers, and that includes Hardik Pandya as well. So he's definitely going to play a few games here and there, and especially on pitches which offer a bit of zip, be it Bombay or maybe Calcutta. I think Shami is going to make his mark in those matches, and I wish he plays a lot of games because he is definitely, you know, of that good quality.
Absolutely. And it's going to be a big problem for India, you know, to find this right combination. Now, when you look at Shardul Thakur too, right? Now, he was expensive in the Asia Cup. Like, he had an economy rate of 5.94, which is apparently the worst among all the India bowlers. But with, you know, Hardik Pandya going a level up as a seamer, I think India will likely back, you know, Shardul, because he brings in that extra batting option as well over Shami in case he leaks a lot of runs. So what are your thoughts on how this combination might play out?
Yes, I mean, you're correct with Shardul, you know, not being your premium pacer or premium first stage pacer to be precise, because Hardik has upped his bowling skills so well that, you know, he's able to swing the ball or seam the ball as well. He's clocking 140 kilometers per hour regularly. That is so good to see. But what I am most concerned is the role definition of Shardul Thakur. Is he going to be your fifth bowler? I don't think so, because the way in which he's being operated, or Rohit Sharma is giving him chances, he is just bowling 5 or 6 overs, which is basically the role of your sixth bowler.
Yeah.
Fine. And he's going to bat at number 8. So for he does have the quality, but I'm not entirely sure if he's consistent enough, you know, to don that role. He definitely needs to work on that. But the thing is, you know, this guy has tremendous, tremendous amount of self-confidence. We saw, you know, how he played in the Gabba test and even in England, the Twin 50s and all of that. So he does have, I don't think he has, you know, abundant talent per se in terms of his bowling. He does have limited abilities, but the way in which he makes the most out of his abilities is something, you know, you need to be encouraging him. So I think you need to place some trust on him. I'll be very tempted to see how Rohit and the team management, will be going up with him in terms of the bowling. Batting, anyways, he's going to bat at number 8, right? So we know that. But is he going to bowl over 6-7 overs? Or are you, just going to use him as a partnership breaker, your golden arm bowler, all of that? That is something that, the Indian team, needs to answer, or at least, have a clear idea about before heading on the World Cup. So I think that is something that we must realize. And to all the fans out there, we all need Shami to play, or most of us, not all, but have some kind of patience and trust on Shardul, because mind you, this guy, I think he can win matches single-handedly with the skills he possesses. So let's support, let's be more supportive on him. And yeah, I think he proves us all wrong, with putting up great performances.
Exactly. Now, even when you look at Asia Cup at last, it was supposed to be this tournament where, Shreyas Iyer would rightfully take his number 4 slot, which had been a cause of concern for India for almost the longest time, right? But a series of unfortunate events have left, the 28-year-old in limbo just weeks ahead of this World Cup, with back spasm, many people thinking, that KL Rahul was slotted in just like that because of, some suspected spasms and all that. So what are your thoughts on this happening?
Very true. I mean, he's a great talent, who's one of the contenders, to take up the captaincy role in the near future. And his ODI stats, seem to be impressive really of late. He does have a little bit of issues, with the short balls, but he's a great player of spin. I think the reason why, he's been slated straight away into the Indian team is because of his spin playing ability. And obviously, he's a great fielder and all of that. But I think if he can, work on his issues with the short ball, it'll be more, it'll be better for him to, get a place in the 11. Because when you have KL peak at the right time, and Ishan Kishan, who's a lefty, an attacking player in the middle, he is taking all the boxes, which Team India was wanting. So I think Shreyas Iyer, I really fear that he's not going to be in the starting 11. So that is actually raising me more concerns, because in the Australian series, you have Ravi Ashwin and Washington Sundar coming in. And many people are under the impression like just one reserve batsman is enough, and you need to slate in an offie in the 15, especially when you're playing in India and you have a lot of lefties in the opposition's batting order. So all those discussions, and that makes it even more important for Shreyas and Surya to play their best cricket in this Australian series, because I don't see both of them making it to the 15. So it's going to be an important week for Shreyas to make his mark. Otherwise, it's going to be a regretful bit of period, because nobody, no player would wish to be dropped from a World Cup squad, right? So, I mean, fingers crossed that nothing bad happens. We'll definitely have to see how things pan out.
Absolutely. And even the Asia Cup campaign, do you think has answered some of the nagging questions we have? Like, of course, this number 4 spot, who would be our first wicket keep option, then the bowling department combination with respect to the pacers and the spinners we can go for, and even the sixth bowling option. Like, do you feel that the management would have some clarity on this front?
To be honest, it has, to a large extent, probably. Thanks to our dream outing in this tournament, majority of these confusions are gone now. But I think more game time needs to be given for the players to go through even more crisps and roughs because obviously you're not going to get things favorable, everything favorable in a World Cup. I don't think that is practical at all, right? So the thing is, all these players, have a good bit of experience under their belt, right? So they know how to handle certain situations. So they're picking at the right time. Great news. But maybe the number eight slot is something which they'll be looking to eye on and maybe find a good solution to it, because that is something which we weren't consistent enough in terms of our thinking and also decision making, because you had Akshar playing in. Yes, it was a turning track, but he batted really well. But Shardul was preferred in the first game, so a bit of confusion over there. Again, as I said, Ashwin and Sundar coming in, I think they are having both of them or either one of them to don the role of number eight if Akshar is not going to make it to the 15. So that is one question. I mean, that is one problem rather, India haven't solved. But I think the Australia series hopefully will give an answer to that.
I really hope it does, because these are some areas that have been concerned for like some time. So here's hoping we can find some resolution. And even when you look at the Asia Cup now, I'm pretty sure, there might have been some points that we missed out. So are there any areas of concern that from this Asia Cup we can take in our stride and perhaps work on before the Australia series begins?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the number eight certainty, we've just talked about it. So that is one thing. And one more thing is about the batting form of Ravindra Jadeja. I mean, we all know how good a batter he is. He's been so consistent in the longest format and also in the shorter formats as well. But he hasn't made a mark with the bat this tournament. I badly wish he picks up some form ahead of the World Cup. And also maybe use it, because he's definitely going to bat at number seven. You have a gun top order and middle order. So number seven, the headache of it or the responsibility of number seven isn't that prevalent as you see in other teams. But still, if Jadeja also is going to get into his crew, then I think that'll give you an option of playing four good bowlers. Maybe Shami coming in and maybe promoting Kuldeep or Bumrah up the order at number eight. So these are some of the good things that could happen if Jadeja picks up some form. And the third thing is I wish to see the batters becoming more consistent. Obviously, Rohit and Virat are not going to play this tournament, the series rather. Maybe Gill being more consistent. KL and also Ishan playing his natural game irrespective of what happens out there in the middle, because I think he's been given a clear instruction of playing the way he does. So I would like to see them being more consistent so that things become better for us when we step into the World Cup.
Absolutely. So much to look forward to, and so many combinations to figure out as well. And as we reach the end of our discussion as well, do you have any final thoughts, words of wisdom, or a message for our listeners?
Well, I certainly think that the confidence that I personally had in our team has increased by many folds now because of their performances. I really didn't expect them. I mean, winning the tournament, that was not something I was uncertain of. I certainly believed that they could do it, but putting up such performances and especially players who could win you games, winning it right in the Asia Cup and not in the World Cup, so a lot of things are sorted, right? I don't see many fans coming up with their own theories of this player should come. Oh no, Sanju is not there. I mean, that's still there. That's going to be there forever, but still, a lot of answers have been given to us. So, I mean, to all the fans, I think they have shown us, what they're made of, I think it's our time now, you know, to show more trust on them, irrespective of the result. And no player or no team is going to play for the defeat, right? So let's all be more optimistic, and let's be more supportive for the men in blue. I think that's the least we could do, and especially a home World Cup that's going to add a lot more pressure to the Indian team. So let's all, you know, take that into consideration and be a little bit more supportive. That is definitely going to reap us good rewards, in my opinion. So yeah, that's it.
That is a fitting conclusion. And, you know, trusting the process is definitely going to be important. And I think as fans, you know, being patient is also something that we have to cultivate in. And on
exactly.
that note, yeah, and on that note, I'd like to draw curtains on our discussion. Thank you so much, Bharat, for, you know, joining me on the podcast yet again, sharing some amazing insights and talking so articulately. Here's hoping, you know, we can have you back on the podcast. And until next time, stay safe and take care. Bye for now.
Yeah. Bye. Cheers.
Cheers. Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning into this episode and for your unstinted support. Please follow and press the bell icon on Spotify and subscribe to the podcast on Google Podcasts for the latest episode updates, and stay tuned. Do check out @NeverOnTheBackFoot on Instagram and Threads, and @NeverOnTheBackOne on Twitter, now called X, for the latest facts, updates, fresh content, and the lot more that's coming up this cricket season. The podcast is also available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Spotify for Podcasters, and many other platforms. So please do spread the word. Until next time, stay safe and take care, listeners. Bye for now.